They told Ethan to draw it, that's what he put on there.
Okay, 6:30, we'll start. We'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting, January 25th, 2022. Our regular 6:30 meeting. We're going to start off tonight by Dave Ochsman leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, after which Steve Clark will offer us the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this opportunity to be able to meet this night to discuss things of importance to this community. We're grateful for where we live and for the conditions that we find ourselves in. We pray for thy gifts, for the wisdom to be devolved upon this city council, that the decisions that they make will be for the good of the community. And we pray for the strength and health of our community at this time in face of the pandemic. And we ask for these things humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Start off with a roll call.
Lynn?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Ronnie?
Here.
And Sam is not here and I think she might be a little late.
Okay. Next is approval of claims. Claim register dated 1-8 of 2022 to 1-21 of 22 in the dollar amount of $150,546.16.
I don't see Shane here, but those tree trimmer contractors. Are they done, Forbes Bros?
Are they done?
Yeah.
They've done the first group, and then Desert Tree come in and done the second group.
Okay.
So yeah, for right now they went through budget, so they're done.
And they've just been focusing on what? To threaten the power.
But then focus on basically on the primary lines.
Yeah. Okay. That's the only question I have.
Secondary going into the house is out. Got two yet, so.
Hi, Sam.
Anybody else have any questions? I'll make one.
No, I didn't.
You want one? Okay.
Nope. I went through it today.
I'll make a motion that we approve the invoice registry dated 1-8-2022 to 1-21-2022 in the amount of $150,546.16.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have the motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to approve claim register dated 1-8 of 2022 to 1-21 of 2022 in the dollar amount of $150,546.16. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right. Next, we have a requisition from the Power Department to Irby. Requisition 125. 2022-08-25 for 32 40-foot wood poles class 2 in the amount of $25,280.
Yeah, they was running pretty low. I noticed the other day it was just about out of poles.
I think they broke a few on Christmas Eve too.
Yeah.
Oh geez. Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve requisition number 125-2022-08-25 in the amount of $25,280.
And I'll second it. Okay, the motion by Paul and seconded by Lynn to approve requisition 125-2022-0825 to Irby for the dollar amount of $25,280 for 32 40-foot wood poles. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
I waited until you had your review.
I told you this.
All right, that's all the requisitions. So next is considering recommendation from the planning zoning to add PUDs to the commercial and modified commercial zones. Dave, maybe you can tell us a little more on this.
So the planning commission sat down, we had some of the development requested for planning and zoning. And they felt like at this time, rather than trying to write or come up with a high density or some sort of mechanism that would allow some of that, they felt like it was going to be a decent solution, at least for the time being, to add a planned unit development to the commercial and modified commercial zones. That would also enable them to do like the Glen Peel subdivision request without having to change our existing zoning code. So maybe it's kind of putting a Band-Aid on the problem, but it lets us address these quickly and less if we want.
Do we have to have a public hearing on that zone change?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought. Basically, this is just get their vote to move, to have the planning and zoning.
Planning commission wanted to continue the city council before they proceeded with, you know, public hearings and just to make sure that they're in thinking with the city council.
When does, when do you guys meet the planning and zoning?
Third Tuesday of each month at noon.
Okay.
A recommendation, if we go with this, if we do a public hearing, it'd be nice to have them here to represent.
Yes.
That night. So where they're kind of been talking about what their plan is, I guess.
Yes.
I wonder if it's a Band-Aid, then I have wondered about, you know, do we want to throw Band-Aids on stuff right now with all the building we got coming? I'd like to know more about.
Personally, I'm in favor of planned development. I think there's too much just kind of a free-for-all hodgepodge development in our community. Not so much within our city limits, but in the surrounding areas. So I'm in favor of planned development.
Have they got something already picked out as far as everything? Is it already like falling in other cities, planned unit developments, or what have they got in line for that?
So we have the existing section in our city code. It was just, as written, it's only allowable in residential zones.
So they're looking just to change it to where?
Yes.
We can do it in commercial and modified commercial. That's all they're looking for is a change then?
Yes.
Okay.
And with that said, I mean, we still, when there's a planned unit proposed, the planning commission, city council will still sit down, evaluate the plans, make sure it works for the city. So we can still follow our process in the code.
So for instance, in the Glen Peel case, it would still require that they have to have the two entrances and everything. They would have to come back to the city to make sure that that's all in place.
Yeah. The way our code reads right now, it's just not allowed in that commercial.
In the commercial.
Commercial zones.
And I don't know necessarily that's a, I hate to say Band-Aid. I think that's maybe just fixing the problem, because one way or another, you're going to either have to change the zoning out there, or you're going to have to change
what's in the code.
What's in the code. It just gives us more options, I guess, I would think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't understand it all. I guess they'll explain it to us.
I would concur with what Sam just said.
Okay.
Anybody, any other comments, or?
So do we need to make a motion on all this to move forward?
Yeah, we need to make a motion, let the planning zoning move forward.
But I think planning and zoning, I think we've got a good group of people in there, in my honest opinion, and I think they are, do have the best interest for the city. So I mean, I would make a motion to move forward with recommendation from the planning and zoning.
I'll second it.
Okay. I got the motion by Sam and seconded by Lynn to consider recommendation from the planning and zoning to add PUDs to the commercial and modified commercial zone. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm just abstaining right now.
Okay. All right. Next we have on the agenda, Kevin Daniels calling, Sunny calling.
I don't like the word, but it's something I don't fully understand.
If you don't, you can't vote on it, huh?
Nope, I agree 100%.
So basically, conflict of interest, I know there's a lot of questions. So I asked Kevin Daniels, the city attorney, to kind of talk about it a little bit more so we all understood it. So we're going to have him on phone so we can talk and discuss it.
He's out for dinner.
Probably so, huh?
Please leave your message for 80949.
Yeah, try one more time.
Hello, this is Kevin.
Hey, you heard the answer this time, huh?
Yeah, hi. You still there?
Yep.
Yeah, I was driving, so I had to get over.
Oh, okay. We'll take that then. It's good you're being safe. So kind of what we wanted to do is, I know there's a lot of questions when we handed this out last time, so we thought we'd just have you explain maybe a little bit what we need to disclose on the conflict of interest so everybody understood it.
Yeah, so you've got two different statutes that govern. The primary one is that Utah Code Annotated 10-3-1301 through 1309. So there's an entire code section, and it's titled Municipal Officers and Employees Ethics Act. So, the interest were a general suggestion. The legislature changed that with this enactment, and it requires both municipal elected officials and department heads to fill out a conflict of interest form. And then there's another code section that I'll get to as well that the legislature recently enacted. It involves county employees and city employees, and that governs the use of government property on personal time. This is one that they've been taking really seriously. There have been a couple elected officials in other jurisdictions that got in quite a bit of big trouble for things even as could be perceived as minor as using your computer for personal use, particularly if it's in the use of business. So that's a different code section. This one, again, is the Municipal Officers and Employees Ethics Act. And basically what it requires is for the notification of potential conflicts. And then if you're voting on a particular issue related to that conflict, that you have to actually do a sworn affidavit with the mayor, but that's it. You know, there's a larger interest at stake. Basically, so in 10-3-1304, it's titled Use of Office for Personal Benefit Prohibited. And basically what that deals with is, it says, it is an offense for an elected or appointed officer or municipal employee to disclose improperly used private information. That one is not quite as common. That would be, for example, if you owned, or if you knew that a big business was coming in, say Home Depot's coming to Mount Pleasant, you used that information that wasn't publicly available to snatch up all the property around where that Home Depot is going in. So that's prohibited. It's also prohibited to use or attempt to use the officer's or employee's official position to further substantially the officer's or employee's personal economic interest, secure special privileges for the officer or employee or for others, and then obviously, you know, taking a bribe, that one's a, or to receive a gift of substantial value. So you can't receive actually any gift over the value of $50 and still be in compliance. Do you have any questions so far?
No.
Okay. So then in subsection 2, it's an offense for an elected officer or appointed officer to receive or to agree to receive compensation for assisting any person or business entity in any transaction involving the municipality, which the members of officer, unless they file with the mayor a sworn statement giving the information required by this section and discloses the information in an open meeting to the members of the body, which the officer is a member, immediately before the discussion. So that would be, for example, if you're a member of city council and a business that you consult for wants to come in, if you were being paid by that body, you would need to disclose that relationship. That's also an offense for an appointed officer who is not a member of the public body or municipal employee to receive or agree to receive compensation, let's see, for which a family member has an interest or is employed. And then the same, so that would be, you know, if your wife worked at a business that frequently conducts business with the city, that's not saying that's prohibited, but it's saying that it must be disclosed. The bottom line of this statute is disclose, disclose, disclose. Not necessarily everything's out and out prohibited. If you have, you must file the statement 10 days before the date of any agreement between the elected or appointed officer and the business entity. So if your wife worked for Terrell's and Terrell's was going to be receiving some sort of, you know, they were going to pay for the office Christmas party or whatever, you were going to have them cater it, their bakery, you would need to disclose that. You should already have it disclosed, the general business relationship on the conflict of interest form. The statements are public information and shall be available for examination by the public. The statement and disclosure shall contain the name and address of the officer or municipal employee, the name and address of the person or business entity being or to be assisted or which the appointed elected official has a substantial interest, and a brief description of the transactions as to which services rendered or to be rendered, and the nature of the service performed or to be performed. And that applies to family members as well. Then another big one is any interest in a business entity regulated by the municipality. And so that similar language as the other stuff, but if your position has business with the city or is regulated by the city, you need to disclose that. The interest in the business entity doing business with the municipality, again, every appointed or elected officer, et cetera, in which he's appointed or elected, he shall publicly disclose to the members of the body which he is a member, by which he is employed, immediately prior to any discussion by such body concerning matters relating to such business entity, the nature of interest in that business entity. And then again, you have to file a disclosure form. So that would be, for example, Council Member Beasley is employed by the city, and that's not prohibited. But if a decision were to be made about his department, then he would need to have that disclosed. It doesn't prevent him from voting on it. He would just need to disclose it. Let's see. And essentially, these are pretty serious charges if you're found in violation of this. If the assistance, the value, the compensation, or the conflict of interest exceeds $1,000, it's a felony of the third degree.
So Kevin, real quick.
Kevin, just a second. Sam's got a question.
So, like with me and fire, so if I don't file an affidavit, so I guess my question is every time we vote on something for fire, do you have to file that affidavit?
No. Just at the beginning. Okay. You would need to disclose it on the pub, like, so if they're going to vote on the fire department, you need to just renew it orally. Just say, hey, I am a member of the fire department, but I feel comfortable voting on it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the affidavit and whatnot would be once an election term.
Okay.
Let's see. So yeah, it's a felony of the third degree if it's over 250 but under 1,000. It's a second degree felony if it's over 1,000. So it's a pretty serious deal. So that's that particular code section. The other code section, and the one that had quite a bit of debate and discussion on at the county level, was the changes that was pushed by the state auditor regarding use of public resources for private use. So this question came up because you had a state auditor that was pretty, what do I want to use? Not overzealous, but pretty really liked this issue. And so they went and changed the state law. And basically, it's a crime to use, you know, this as silly as this sounds, but it's true. Even to use a public computer for private use. That also applies to people that are elected officials but also employed by government agencies, which actually is a pretty common thing. So for example, you've got to take a case in point is how I represent Mount Pleasant City. So I have a separate laptop that I use for city work. I don't do city work on county time. So I'm very, very careful about making sure that when I'm doing county attorney work, I'm not doing side city work and vice versa. I also couldn't drive, so I have a county vehicle pursuant to my duties as county attorney, but I could not drive my county vehicle to a meeting in Mount Pleasant. Even if, say, it was a meeting at noon and I'm going on my lunch, my private time, I still can't use the county resource to get to Mount Pleasant. There is a policy that you guys can adopt, and I could just pirate the counties, that allows for what they call de minimis use, which means it wouldn't be a crime if you logged on to your work computer and sent an email on city council business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it would have to be adopted by the council to do that policy. If that's something you're interested in, I could just pirate the county's policy. That allows for some of these like really minor, unintentional ones. But like I said, that applies both ways. So, I mean, have any questions so far?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So the bottom line is that conflict of interest form is to help you, especially, because then you get a member of the public that gets on their high horse, if you will, or legitimately concerned about issues. Not always just on the high horse, but it gives you a little bit of coverage so that you can say, yeah, I disclose that on my form, you know, that way, and, you know, you have a spouse that works for, or even, Councilmember Stallings running the business that he did, if the city was going to contract with him, he would need to disclose that. This just goes back to the rationale behind the Open and Public Meetings Act, grandma, this law. The whole idea is to have the public's business conducted in the open. The main reason why this came about is you had some legislators that were in Salt Lake, and they were tied into a bunch of development groups, and they were passing laws that benefited their company. And there was quite a bit of public uproar, and involved UTA, it was a big giant mess. So that's kind of where this came from, and then you have the auditor also, you know, focusing in on this type of issue. But the bottom line is, if you disclose it on your, it's better to over-disclose than to under-disclose. And if you guys ever have questions, shoot me a text, give me a call. For those of you that are new council members, the mayor can give you my cell phone number. I'm happy to answer your questions pretty much anytime. So if you have a particular question, or maybe one that you don't want to necessarily bring up in front of the other council members, if you have a question as to whether something needs to be disclosed, you know, give me a call tomorrow, shoot me a text. I'd be happy to answer those questions, because part of my job is to keep you guys out of hot water, and I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, it doesn't look like there's any questions, so thank you, Kevin.
Yes, of course. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
So do we have disclosures and that, all that stuff that he was talking about? We have a disclosure paper?
The one that we handed out last city council?
Yeah, is that a disclosure? Are they the same thing? Or is that...
It's all in there to fill it all out.
So that's why I guess I should have asked, is this the same as the disclosure, or is it kind of both?
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. Okay. The only thing would be is, again, one thing that we should have asked him on, but I know if you do have something to change, you need to come back and renew that disclosure. So like if you bought another business, I'm just going to use that, you know, if you bought a different business or got associated with another business, become part of business owner, you'd have to come back in and fill out a new deal, even though it's in the middle of your term or something like
makes
that.
Makes sense.
The one thing I didn't realize is we don't have our department heads with it.
Yeah, but I don't think we need to do that.
So that's the thing we'll have to do that he brought up. So yeah. Okay. Next item is Councilman Beasley and Kiesel. Discussion on proposed bathroom for the cemetery.
Maybe I have the wrong one.
Never mind. Are you not on the amended one?
I'm not on the amended one.
We skipped recognition of the month, or citizen of the month. I should have mentioned that because it couldn't be here. So we postponed that one.
Yeah, the budget was the next one here, but
minutes approved. Yeah.
We want to do that the first one.
Okay. Well, like I say, Mike was good enough to do a drawing for us this morning. And Mike, Mike Mayer says that he's got some different months. We're looking to get the money from the perpetual fund for the cemetery.
So last night after we met, I called Mont on another grant I'm trying to get. And he came over and talked to me, and he said that he had put the perpetual cemetery fund towards our grant that we're trying for the outdoor recreation for the bathroom in the park.
So that takes that money away from us for one?
Until we see if we get the grant or what we get.
Well, then there's enough money to do both?
The other is, what, a $200,000 or is it a $400,000 grant we're going after? I can't remember if it was 200 or 400 because there was, we have, it's a 50-50 match.
Mind you, with five.
I guess my question is, if that grant money, if he's using the perpetual money from the cemetery, then that grant money, would it be available for the restroom at the cemetery too?
If we had enough money.
So
the biggest thing is the grant we've applied for was the outdoor recreation, which was been going on for the last year for the restrooms there at the park, is a 50-50 match. And so part of what they put in the application was is that we had the perpetual cemetery funds because the cemetery would be using that restroom also.
Are we going to put the restroom in the park down the west southwest corner? Is that where that's going?
I have not seen the master plan to know. The last I knew, it was going right next to the one that we've already got. Just to the south. Yeah, Justin's been working on it. And the last I knew, it was just going south of the existing.
And if I remember, didn't he ask to stay kind of working on that when he left?
And we're supposed to know on the grant here sometime in the first part of February. It was almost a done deal other than the issue.
Hiccup with the.
With the land.
Land.
The applications was less than the money that was in there for the pot. So it was almost like we've guaranteed the money, but the hiccup with the land. So we don't know. But I didn't want to put that towards it till last night.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I talked to Mark too about it. That's when he asked me to have a meeting with you. He had all kind of go over these things. But that's $400,000. If we get that grant, what do we figure? Just a rough estimate? Full mic set there. What do you think? What's a rough estimate on the cost of that drawing that you?
A lot less than $200,000.
Yeah.
I could build that restroom all day long for $35,000, $40,000.
We talked about it yesterday. We talked about a decorative block just so that it wouldn't get trashed, you know.
That doesn't change a lot. There's other ways you can approach it that will minimize it and you get the same results out of it.
Is there anything else included in that grant besides restrooms?
Yeah, there was playground equipment. There was new picnic tables.
And there were a few other things.
There was something to fix the pavilions, I want to say. Mm-hmm. The power in the park had to be redone.
It was all like the underground.
The sprinkler system. So it was a major, kind of another major overhaul, basically the whole park.
Yeah.
On here, you drew the drawing?
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one?
No, there's two different ones.
So Mike had his.
Mike.
Well, this one here, so I guess there's two water lines out there. Where is this for the second water line?
That one water line, that 8-inch one that goes up through that new part that they're going to plant. And it goes to that well, and it's absolutely worthless.
No, there's two. They're both tied in.
One, yeah.
The new well is tied in on the different line. That new well in the cemetery, that's tied completely different from the two that run up.
Yeah.
The one that runs, so there's one that runs.
On the
original one that runs down on the north side. It goes out and it feeds its original feed for the hospital. The second one that runs down in there, the brand new one in 2010, is the loop feed that goes in the back side of the hospital to loop feed the hospital. So that has two ways of feeding the hospital.
But they both tie into the same line.
No, they've tied them in further because they brought that line coming across. That's where the PRV ties in on 2nd East up there off of 7th South. That's all brand new line that comes down. They brought that down 2nd South, tied all that in, tied in another PV. That PRV valve comes over and then they brought it across 7th and over and down and across over in front of the bus garage. That's why that new hydrant's put in there. It's tied off that new hydrant. That line comes all the way down, feeds separately so that we could loop feed the hospital.
Okay.
So.
Does that go out and then go out Peterson Lane or?
Yes. Yep. That's the one that goes out and then they re-tied it in and it loops clear down back also around, cuts across 5th West and then it goes clear down around the arena.
Yeah. Just on the left side of that cattle guard is where 45 and comes into the cemetery.
Yes.
And then goes down through 2nd.
Yeah, but it comes across 7th right there on 2nd, then it comes off the west side of the bus garage right there, and that's where it ties that hydrant on, and then it comes all the way across. It ties off that PRV over there on 2nd West.
So West Deep Drive.
Yeah, further south.
Yeah.
So, south, yeah. In the middle of the road, because that's all new line that they tied in coming down 2nd South from 10th, or all the way up from the tank. They retied a whole brand new line in and come all the way over.
Yeah, they left in the town where they're at 45 and go under the cement ditch.
Correct. Yeah, they had to go under the ditch, so.
Okay.
But I didn't, that's why I didn't know if it was, you know, where it's at from both lines. If it's,
yeah, it's
As far as I could tell, it was like, you know, not as often or probably not.
I just would hate to have it go over a line or something, because.
Oh, yeah, we didn't, that's why we wanted to keep it away, so.
Right, that was just my concern, I think, because that line does, that's why I said that was the whole project, to get primary, secondary feed into that hospital, so.
One of the questions I had, it's like, if we can build that restroom, why didn't we extend the cemetery?
Yeah, I don't know.
Further.
I see.
Extend cemetery further east?
To north.
Where the soccer field is?
No.
Closer to the water line.
Closer to the water line, I mean, if, because I was told there was two or three water lines in there, and that's where the cemetery had to stop.
It is, yeah.
Because they couldn't dig any further, and then this would be in that area, so it's like.
When I laid that out with JEB, we went out and measured from the water line, and then kept a distance back, so we, if we got into rock, we wouldn't punch the water line digging those graves. So it was as close, we expanded the cemetery to the north as far as we could, as far as JEB would like.
So how close is that, do you think, to that water line?
I have to go out and measure, I wouldn't even dare take a guess at how close we got it.
I know the new one has locate wire with it.
Yeah.
Do you have a locator yet to hook onto those wires?
We do, yeah. Well, tying this restroom into that water line, does that create some concerns?
Not tying it in, I just didn't want it going over the top of it. Would be my big thing, just because if you ever had a break, then it's a nightmare to fix.
So then I guess what we're looking at, we gotta wait and see what happens with the grant.
Probably.
And how we wanna, what was the other monies that, Dave, that we got? She had the perpetual fund, and then there was something else she.
I mean, we have some general capital reserves, but I was gonna kind of talk a bit about that in my financial report, a little bit, if you get to that.
So really, how much are we gonna need over than what Mike's gonna help us out? Does anybody really?
Well, if we're gonna go with stone, then Mike will just supply what, the trusses? Trusses and the wire?
I'm just here to help, I'd like to see a new restroom, so I'll help wherever I can.
You know, I mean.
What was your suggestion besides stone, or block?
I wouldn't be afraid of building it out of wood, and then it all depends on what you put on the exterior and the interior. Like I said, you can go corrugated steel, there's a lot of.
I've seen a lot, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd be afraid of just putting drywall on the inside, because I'm afraid kids would beat the hell.
Oh, yeah, you don't wanna do that, but you can put, if it was me, I'd put OSB, and then I'd put, so it's solid, and then you throw a nice corrugated steel inside and outside. And for me, I mean, it comes down to whatever you prefer, but the curb appeal, I like that a lot better. Yeah. Everyone has a split face in you, but regardless. Like I said, I spent a lot of time running through there.
Right.
I don't live in, my house doesn't, my address is not Mount Pleasant. However, my kids and I go there quite often.
Right.
And I gotta bring one to stand guard because they can't lock the door. I was like, rather than complaining, I thought, gosh,
we appreciate it, yeah.
Whether it's blocked or whatever. And if you guys need, no, I just took what you gave me, Bolt.
Yeah.
That hand drawn, just quickly threw that together. And if you're willing to look at suggestions, I would design it a little different than that. And
sure.
Yeah. But whatever you guys want, I'll donate the design, the engineering.
I mean, we just put that together just so we could get, kind of show what we want.
Right, that's what I just said.
Yeah, you guys have got the brains, you know, so.
Yeah, I told Mike I wanted.
Whatever I do to accommodate.
I put a journal in the men's room too, the men's side there.
So now, at least out in the public world, they don't want to distinguish men's or women's. It's all family restrooms. That is the one thing you can't anymore. I guess this again is different because we wouldn't be getting funding anywhere. But you can't determine men's and women's anymore. It's sad. It's a sad world. And then the only thing I noticed, I pulled up some ADA requirements for my hospital drawings, and it required at least 7'6".
Yeah, we did not go into ADA or anything. That was just a prop.
A prop.
But when it really gets down to what you want to.
Well, any city building has to have ADA.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's a fact.
So again, we'd have to do just a little bit different design, like you're saying.
We'd have to take it to the public, wouldn't we? we have to take this to the public to build it?
You shouldn't have to.
No?
It would be just how we come up with the funds.
Hey, Mayor, there's actually three water lines running through there, because the new sprinkler main line is out, just outside of the cemetery.
So it's outside of where you're digging on the north?
Yeah. So there's three, there's the big 8-inch, the 6-inch, and then that 4-inch that we ran up through there for the sprinkler main.
On that cemetery itself?
It's actually just on the north side of the cemetery boundary, and then we ran the...
But I mean, is it water in the new set, that section?
Yep. But then we ran the crosslegs through the walkways to stay out of when we dig. So when that got engineered by Mountain Line, they set it just on the outside of the cemetery property line, was where we would be digging. There's actually three water lines running up through there.
Okay, I guess what I wanted to do is bring this before the rest of the council and just see how you generally felt about it. Santa would really like to have the restroom out of the cemetery, and I would really like to have a restroom.
Separate from the other.
Well, there's some, you know...
Nothing worse than being out there, no place to go. Now, the one across the street would be there if we built that one. It's down across the street, but this one would serve not only the cemetery, but the soccer fields over there for all them kids and stuff, and we got soccer going on and everything. And for the price, if we can build that for $35,000-$40,000, what an asset it would be for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, like now, we're getting so many more funerals, and we have great, you know, with the COVID and everything like that, and we get a lot of big crowd out there. And they're always asking, and right now, we have no place for them to go, no place.
Yeah.
Why don't we look at putting it up by the flat?
That's why I'm saying, what about, instead of being around all the water, like maybe a different location, other than it kind of hurts the soccer field, but reality, the soccer field's not going to be there forever either. It's going to be a cemetery.
Up by the flagpole would be more in a central location for the whole cemetery.
I don't have a problem with that either.
You know, that might be an easier, just as far as, you're kind of double-edged sword, like you said, because if you want to use it for soccer, I get that 100%, but it might...
Then we'd have the other one for where you run on the track on the...
In the park.
Yeah, just park.
I
guess until we get the grant, until February, I guess, what's your general feeling about it?
I don't think it'd be a bad idea to have a separate one up in that cemetery. I really don't.
I like Colter's idea, maybe putting it up by the flagpole up there.
More of a central location.
Except the only downfall would be the soccer field, but, you know, we may have to address that later down the road anyway.
That's not that far away from that upper corner of the soccer field.
Yeah. I mean, they still have a little ways, but I mean, like I said, that's a cemetery technically anyway, but we used to have the soccer games all the time up there, either at Wasatch or up to the fourplex where they...
So...
Before we had some issues there, but anyway.
What about the ground where we do the fireworks on? Is that future cemetery ground?
Yeah.
That's all cemetery, yeah.
So that would be another reason. That's another good place to put it.
What if we was to...
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a bathroom.
What if we was to move it to the First East? In that corner. Does the water lines go all the way through that?
There's some right there on the east side, but...
The well's right there on the corner of First East.
Oh, yeah. That well's all there.
But I mean, there's a water line that goes on the west side of the well. There ain't really nothing in that. There's some wires and some power that goes right there. But other than that, I mean, if you kicked it further off the road, though.
That served the whole cemetery.
Well, I was just thinking, if we moved it to First East, and this is what hit me when we're talking, if the cemetery goes over across
Street
8 South, and then the cemetery up there, this would, and this, if we could put it on First East, it would still serve our soccer field instead of being so far if we put it over in the center.
You're probably talking 50, 70 years before that's going to move that far north.
You can't believe how many lots Santa has already sold.
What's going to develop first, where the soccer field is for graves or up where they do the fireworks?
Should go east.
Yeah, the soccer field is what they're talking about. Right?
Yeah, well, Sandra wants to go to the soccer field, but I'd like to go east.
Yeah, I would like to see
don't
that
even
too.
Going over there until we have to.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, if that's the only drawback with putting this clear over
in the center of the cemetery, it limits it. It's a long ways from the soccer field, but if we could keep it over on that road someplace, and not knowing where all those water lines are, I don't know, but.
I don't think it's that expensive to have the bathroom brought in like she's been having. I don't think it costs that much.
It's more for cemetery use, so it'd be dual use.
I think it would be better over by the flagpole, wouldn't it? Get Memorial Day, I mean, that's a long ways from.
It is.
The south side of the cemetery, clear over to Camp South.
That, you know.
Or night side.
It might look pretty good right there by the flagpole, you know, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I like the flagpole.
Memorial building right there by the flagpole too.
Have the back, I mean, if you have the bathroom and everybody, and they're doing their veteran stuff and their memorial stuff, it might make sense.
I like that by the flagpole.
Yeah, I like that idea too.
Well, we're talking about two restrooms here. So you're gonna have one in the park just south of the existing restroom. Where is that in, you know?
Well, we talked yesterday, Mike and I, Paul talked yesterday about taking the existing restroom and making that a storage.
We would keep that building.
Keep the building and open it up, make it a storage room, and build in another restroom the same type down. Would it be, did we talk southwest?
I thought it was just going south of the existing, as where the original plan had just.
You want it there or down to where, what are we gonna do? Of course, we got that restroom down at the rodeo grounds.
Yep.
That'd be fine with me, just go south of it.
I can remember where he was putting that one.
So he was coming up with a master plan, and that was part of the whole design.
Well, I think you had to come up with a master plan for the grant. You have to have a whole laid out plan.
So what if, like, you know, for Mike and the people on the walking trail and everything, what if we put heat in that one down there at the rodeo grounds and open that up for people? For the public. It's right on the walking.
Does it have electric heaters in it already?
Has no heaters.
No heaters in it?
I mean, because the public needs it. There's a lot of people that run, and I see it every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that use that trail.
There is.
How expensive would it be?
Cameron was gonna.
I was just gonna say, there's a power guy here.
How expensive would it be to put new doors on the existing restroom so they'd lock and put heaters in them?
If you can keep kids from kicking them in.
And we put cameras out there and we.
Cameras are a lot cheaper than.
Because that's what I think. If we're building a new restroom, that's one thing I'd recommend is we put Wi-Fi out there and we put cameras on there so we can see who goes in and out the doors. At least then we'd know who's been in and out that door during the daytime, or, you know.
Do they got internet to the cook shack?
No.
Only during custody days.
No.
So they, do they have anything, what do you guys use for internet when you're out there?
Just, we pay.
Hot spots.
Just a hot spot.
Yeah. I think if we just approach Centricom, I think that's what we ought to do is approach Centricom. On either one, where we put it, see if they.
When you put all this on it too, I'd hate to have somebody destroy the building. I mean, I really. But, I mean, I don't think it would be a bad idea to look into doing that temporarily until we can figure out anything else. I mean, honestly, it would be nice for the public to have a place to, you know, like you said, there is a lot of people that use that trail.
Well, they all go in that coffee shop now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, and it's gap in coffee, they say, so.
I would imagine. Good for a business, maybe.
Well, I'm optimistic we'll get that grant, and I think we ought to be able to, you know, build off $40,000 off that grant and put in a restroom. I'd like to see that happen.
I think most of the labor would be donated.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, that's.
We're doing it out of block.
Great asset for the city for a generous donation from.
Couldn't we build some stuff around that restroom, maybe at part of the memorial to do some veteran stuff and put some stuff on the walls and stuff on the outside? You know, there's a lot that you can add to that restroom too, make it.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Put some plaques on it.
Yeah, put some different things that might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good location, and I think definitely would be worth looking into the other, like you say, down there, and temporarily do something with it until we can get the other figured out. That's my thoughts.
Well, yeah, because with that grant, how long is it going to be before everything goes through?
Yeah.
And I think the public deserves to have a restroom as quick as we can get it.
I don't think it'd be too much to put some electric heaters out there, would it, Cameron?
No.
just the camera setup or something, to put some kind of something up there maybe.
Does the water just turn onto those restrooms in the road underground?
Yeah, they're just right there on the stop and waste.
Stop and waste just outside the building.
Okay. We'll just table it for right now and then we'll...
Well, I think we ought to continue...
Make a motion or...
I think we ought to continue to look into, if Mike's willing to do, do you say you have some other plans or would you just draw them or...
Whatever you want, we'll draw. No, I got a lot of ideas. And so we just drew what Bull gave us, but...
What's your thoughts of moving it up there, where the flagpole is?
Moving the one...
This restroom up there.
The only, my thoughts are, and more of a concern, is if you don't have to replace the existing restroom, you're going to have kids bolting across that street to go use the restroom in the cemetery.
Well, they'd have to cross the road anyway if you put it on that cemetery side. They're going to have to cross the road one way or another. From where you're talking.
So are you saying...
So the one that you guys...
Not replace the existing...
No, we're going to be replacing it.
We're going to replace that.
We're in the works right now to get replaced. We're working on a grant.
Okay, I thought you were saying...
But I mean, even if...
Put another...
No, what I'm talking...
We'd abandon the existing restroom to build, after we build the new one on the south side. Because that's the way it was proposed on the grant.
I see.
Yeah, but I mean, in where this one's location's proposed now versus where it's at, they're going to have to cross the road either way. Does that make sense? Versus where it would be here down, it's just going to kind of be closer versus further up.
And guess what we're at, Mike, is we're looking at two restrooms, is what we're talking. One at the cemetery up there, that would be far enough away too that it would serve the whole cemetery.
Well, you guys, if you want to help in designing, we'll do that. I'll go as far as saying we'll even, I wouldn't bid it, but we would open book and we could be the construction managers and I'd donate, it'd be no profit whatsoever. We just run it for you.
I think if we just open it up, I think we could get a lot of volunteers.
I believe you would.
I think if we have a plan and we put it out to the general public, I think we'd have a lot of volunteers. I mean, we're going to have to buy concrete. We're going to have to buy some of that stuff probably, but...
Yeah, I believe you have a lot of people stuck with like...
We'd have to put a septic system on this. That'd be the trouble with moving it up there. But that's not that big of a use either.
No, I mean, two bathrooms from where you wouldn't really need
a big tank.
No. I don't think it'd be too big of an expense, to be honest. The only thing that might would throw that...
Being within the 300 feet of the sewer line?
No, the well.
Yeah, and then you'd have to take up cemetery property for your field drain and stuff, wouldn't you?
That's my only other thing.
Is there a sewer line going down, what would that be, 8th South? On First East?
Yeah, there is on First, yeah.
Could we run, I'm wondering what way the ground falls there.
It runs to the west. You might can tie it in court over there.
Could you go from the flagpole back to the north?
You might could.
You'd have to.
You might could.
I've got the level.
You'd have to pop the manhole right there and just...
I'll go shoot it tomorrow.
I think we ought to just look at options and look at more different things and then come back and readdress it.
Like I said, the only thing with your thing that may throw a hiccup on it would be your...
The well use there?
Well, yeah, your, because it has to have a set amount of...
Clear
area that you can't do anything in, so that would be the only hiccup. But if reality, if we turn that well into a secondary water versus primary, then that all goes away anyway.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're proposing to put heat and security cameras at the restrooms down by the rodeo ground.
And new doors.
And new doors.
The rodeo ground doesn't mean new doors, does it?
Yeah, one's a wooden one, but I think the other's steel. Well, it's just a wooden door.
Is it lit up down there now? Is there lights around that restroom?
No. I mean, if you want to get with me, I'll take you down and look at it.
We probably ought to put a light there, too.
Well, we probably ought to involve Coulter, to be honest. Yeah. Everything really needs to go through Coulter.
Yep, we should go through Coulter.
Just so everybody's got the same page and everybody's on the same page.
Coulter, would you do some research and come back with, back to us?
Yep.
Sewer line, how deep it is on that 8 South?
Yep. I'd love to.
I don't think it'd be too bad to put a light out there. It's tied to the building either to light it up.
Well, we've got power clear to the light pole for the flashlight. We might have to upgrade that a little bit.
Put the power in all those buildings.
There's power in the bathroom, can you? Oh, no, I'm thinking of it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Just to light it up right there.
What we need to make it year-round use?
Yeah, that's what we need, year-round use.
What we need to do to retrofit it for year-round use.
Yep.
And that really ain't gonna be as bad to maybe do that anyway for that trail that's right there all the time anyway, so.
And that's a big concern, is the people using that trail, so.
Okay, so we need to make a motion on that, I guess, or?
No, we don't have to take a vote on it or anything. We just move forward to what we agreed upon. Yep. So we're not touching money or contracts or anything, so it doesn't matter that far. Okay, moving on. Dave, the financial report, semi-annual budget report. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't want to take up too much of your time going over the budget per se. I just want to tell us some highlights. The general fund looks a lot better than it does per se on the notes that we're on. It looks way better on paper than reality, and a contributing factor to that is the $208,000 ARPA money. So it shows right now it's about $299,000 in black, but we have to subtract off that $208,000. That'll be transferred into water funds when we're ready to make it.
The purchase?
Yes. So other than that, the general fund is performing pretty good. It's about $80,000 to the black, but we did commit to buy that new police vehicle, which will chew into the bulk of that right now. Sales tax is up quite a bit in the last 2-3 years. It's actually pretty amazing how much it's increased, which is very fortunate. But monitoring the economy with inflation, I'm keeping a close eye on that. I feel like this supply chain issues and everything we're facing right now at federal level, we could have our sales tax crash in a moment. Water fund performing excellent. We've started some well drilling is going, I guess, fine with that. Sewer, we just started the wastewater master plan. Holter and Mike have been working with JV on that. We're starting that, which will lead into that headworks project. Irrigation is doing fine. It'll held up the water Keystone project. Not much progress going in there. Held up on the federal level. Power department this year, they kind of got dealt a bad hand. Our power purchase has gone through the roof with UNS. I know Shane's really looked into that, and I think it's starting to level off. I don't know. He could get some better answers what's going on there. We are looking at a rate increase, or a rate study, and Shane's got a first work done, and we've been sending them a lot of data. So Shane's got a full plate. He's been putting in a lot of time on that. And then the library fund, that is a fund that has been struggling the last couple of years, and I think the city council is kind of facing a decision time there. He doesn't really do a truth in taxation and raise the property tax rate so that it can cover operations and maintenance. Or maybe we need to do away with that tax, separate tax rate for the library, move it into a function of being just under general fund, which a lot of our neighboring cities do that. Ephraim City is one, for example. But basically what it comes down to is it's on such a bare bones operation, wages are extremely stagnant there, and it just needs some financial help. So that's the library fund.
Well, how would that look when it's a general fund? Would it be able to sustain that?
I would have to really sit down and involve a lot of decisions as far as you guys as the council, what we kind of want to accomplish next year too. So.
Well, I think it's a valuable aspect of the city, the library. I'm not one to raise taxes just for that. I there's a better way to put it that way.
I wish we could get out of paying the bookmobile. part and put it towards our library.
I'm saying on the library, we're reaching that threshold where we thought.
Well, that's why I was kind of asking which would be better. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, but.
I agree with you. We'd have to raise the property tax and find a way of not pass that burden on the citizens of Mount Pleasant. That'd be preferable.
Like I say, I think it's a valuable thing. The program they do in the summer and that, the reading programs, they do phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of kids that come to it.
I had a lot of response to it.
You know, so.
I think it's good to have it go on our taxes separated from the general to show that that's what it's actually going to.
Would be a subcategory, almost like similar to the fire.
Well, I was going to say.
But I would definitely, like, we would need to involve heavily Don Coats to make sure, okay, is there any side effects, that unintended consequences?
So.
If they combine that, are we ineligible then for particular grants and stuff?
So my question is this, and maybe I don't, just because I don't know. If the library employees work for the city, can't we pull their wage out of general fund and separate that as a wage and split it?
We could be challenged on that because you're moving the money just kind of into a different fund.
Well, I mean, you're just paying the employees though, is what I'm saying. Because they're a city employee anyway, right?
That is correct, but it's a different fund.
But I guess what I'm trying to understand, because I guess it's in my, I guess I'm trying to figure it out, is if it's the same as like a water fund, that's its own generating thing, and it's a tax deal. They're, all these guys' wages don't just come straight from water.
Right.
Does that make, you know what I mean? So I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just both library.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Is that something that can be done?
I don't know if the budget would handle.
And that's what I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
That'd be my question, is if we could handle it in the general.
I don't know wages and how much it would cost, anything like that, but I mean, I'm just trying to think other options, outside the box maybe, but if you could combine the two to where maybe, and taxes go towards helping the library stuff and books and whatever else, and maybe the wages come from the city side.
I could check into that. My gut instinct tells me it's two different funds to allocate their wages to, like, whether it be an administration or something like that. So I could check into that.
Okay.
Excuse me, why don't you just add something on our bill that we get every month? We pay for water, sewer, and all that. Why can't we give $3 or $4 to the library every month? Just an idea.
Right, that would be kind of like a citizen initiative that you kind of did with Proposition 7 towards the pool.
So right now it's all split out as a separate line item on your property tax.
I know that.
So really it would be doing the same thing just by raising our property tax the same little bit that we'd have to offset it.
It's just an idea.
Yeah, sometimes it maybe.
Don't mind paying the extra for the library. The library is the most important thing in the city. Sometimes, you know,
yeah.
Because your kids, that's where, and the pool, because I go there a lot too. So.
Well, some people might not say on my power bill, it may not look as bad as the tax. I don't know. Maybe just a different
approach. That's what I was thinking. Because you said you didn't want to get taxed. Well, yeah. If it just comes on your water bill, it's a little extra to help the library. Right. A lot of people might think differently than that in raising taxes. Just a thought.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, either way, we'd have to have a public hearing to change it all, and so it'd be, you know, which way you wanted to put it.
Right. We did get some grants off this month. We got off to the CBG, that was for the road project in Aspen Village. We should be hearing back on that by mid-March. Other grants we got off, we just sent off to Representative Stephen Lund. We're asking for a bunch of money for the Contonia Arena to support the development infrastructure projects going on in that. Seems like there's been some other grants too.
One for the art council that we just done?
Yeah, I think Mark put in a small one for them.
We just, well, Thrive 125, but that was last year's. Yeah. And then our big one, we gotta get in next week.
Yes. We're working on the CID application for that, well, purchased water rights and possibly delivery system to get that water piped up. We do have a meeting with six county AOG, me and the mayor, March 9th. And part of that is going through a capital projects list and kind of, Bull, I think you asked the question, well, can we afford that? And I'd like to have a meeting maybe the last council meeting in February and sit down and kind of get your guys' interest, like I know Sam's asked to about a compressor. So it kind of makes it hard for me to say, well, yeah, you can afford that without knowing well the other wish lists are out there and then having the council decide which way is our priority and give me the mayor then even a time of warning to look, okay, is there grants or applicable? Is there an engineering firm we should get involved, maybe an act of parking impact fee for accomplishing some of these needs in our city?
So basically,
all boils back to money.
Yeah, it does. But basically, again, what Dave's asking is for the next month or the last one in February to come with your ideas budget-wise. If you guys want something or you see something we ought to be looking at, that we come back at the end of February with those ideas. Anything else?
That was it, unless you guys have questions. I just would reiterate any time that you want help understanding the budget or going through it, I'm more than happy to meet at your schedule when it's convenient for you.
The only thing, I guess real quick, while we're talking about that, I was thinking about, you better get me doing Wasatch Chinese New Year. Fireworks went up 14%. So it's huge. They said they were usually getting them from China for their shipping at about $15,000 to ship them to Salt Lake. Now it's they said they're over $40,000. So I just did Wasatch Shoal for a $1,000 show. We bumped the new 14% to $140. So on our bigger show, it's going to be significant, or we'll have a less of a show, so we have to.
Yeah.
Figure that in.
We're going to have to look at that.
Well, that's what we're starting to see across the board. I mean, we just had a contract request for our computer IT services with a 7% inflation rate. Everything is going to jump up. And that's why I'd like to get kind of your project wish list and get that all combined so I know what I'm working towards. And can then take that to the department heads too and make it all work across the city.
Yep. Anything else? Anything, Dave?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Next item. We need to approve the selection of JUB Engineering for our wastewater treatment sewer collection master plan. We put it out for bid and the bid was awarded to JUB, and we realized that we hadn't approved it to the city council, so we need to approve that. Yeah, I was kind of waiting for the state to approve it, and it got into Christmas time and stuff, so they've kind of finally come back and said they're good with the way we've done our process and everything else, so we need to approve it here in the city council.
Well, everything we did on the scoring sheets, they were the ones that scored. I mean, it was close.
It was very close.
It was a tough decision, to be honest with you. It was very close. Okay. But they did have a higher score. So, and I can't remember if they were only, I can't remember if they were, price-wise.
$918.
They were only, part bids. They were really
close. What was the total of bid?
$60,000.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, they were within like $900.
So we got a $50,000. Wasn't it $50,000?
Yeah.
$50,000 grant to do this, and we have to match it with $10,000.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve or to select JUB Engineering for the wastewater treatment sewer collection master plan.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Sam and second by Russell to approve the selection of JUB Engineering for the wastewater treatment and sewer collection master plan. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
So that's just the engineering?
Yes.
Yes. Just to do.
Just to clarify.
Yes, that's the engineering part.
Who did they beat up, Sunrise?
Yeah, that's the only two that bid on it, was those two.
And there is a need for it.
Like I said, it was going through them line items that we had to do. I mean, they were.
So close.
I mean, they were close. I mean, it was a matter of points is all it was. I mean, yeah. Points, but. I think they both did a good job, so.
Yeah, we're good either way. That was the one thing nice, and they were so close. It was a tough decision which way to go. So, next item is we talked some and need to take some action right away. So there's two things on this part I guess I ought to say is we talked a little bit about contracting with an engineering company to have a peer review of our new development proposals. So the planning and zoning received the Mountainville Farms Phase 1 plan.
We talked about that last council about having somebody.
Having somebody to review the plans. The plans have been done by Ensign. Seeing Brandon here. we'd like to contract with another engineering firm to look at the plans to approve them. Because again, there's lots of new things that we've never faced, because this will be our first subdivision with curb and gutter. Stormwater that we've never faced, and a couple of concerns I have with this is the slope of the ground and water and stuff that we've just, and nobody here's.
But I agree.
Nobody's certified to look at those and make a determination. So we reached out to two different firms, Sunrise and JUB. Sunrise said that theirs would be between $500 and $1,500. And JUB, to review the plan, said $1,000. I got to pull up my paper, $1,076. So again.
Comparable.
Comparable, very comparable.
Well, my thoughts on this, before you mention names, is to me, I'm not against going with one and the other. Maybe where JUB got this other one, what's wrong with giving Sunrise this one?
I agree.
That's my.
I agree.
Rotate them each time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, not have one set, but you can at least give others options, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, and JUB's got our irrigation project.
If you start giving everybody a whole bunch of stuff, maybe they'll start getting some more at getting stuff back. I don't know, that's just a thought process, but.
So part of that, I thought, too, is maybe we reach out to both firms according to whoever, whatever suggestion we have. Part of it, too, is I feel like we need to have somebody that could do it fairly quick.
Yeah.
If somebody says they can't do it for a month, then.
Well, that, I agree.
That's not acceptable, I feel like, on this, because we're
going to hold them up.
Hold them up that way for a review.
Right.
So, kind of looking at recommendations of who you want to go with, at least on this project. And then I think we need to look seriously at maybe even getting a contract with an engineering firm to look at.
Keep doing it.
To keep doing it, or we just keep doing an individual deal. There's pros and cons both ways. And Ensign has done a bunch of work with Gunnison to help update them on their codes, different things. I know that's one thing that we're lacking on. Because Brandon was showing us after planning his own, kind of what he's done with Gunnison. So I guess that's another thing we need to really look at and discuss or talk about. So it's kind of two different things there on this discussion on actions. So.
Well, they're doing, I would entertain doing that and other stuff, because I guarantee our stuff's been in there for a long time and needs to update it too.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's a lot going on.
There is. So I guess maybe what we ought to do is the first one is for Mountainville Farms, the recommendation of which firm we use.
I recommend that we use Sunrise. I propose that we use Sunrise Engineering for Mountainville Farms review.
Okay.
Like,
Yeah, and the only thing I'd say is like you talked earlier, maybe timeframe. If they can't do it for 2 months, I don't know what your thoughts on that. That does only.
I
agree 100% with doing sundries. I just wonder.
I don't want to tie it up.
And maybe they can't. And maybe they're an issue with either one. I don't know.
If they can't do it quick, I'd go to the other one.
That's my thoughts. I would agree with Paul.
And this here cost will be passed on to the developer. So the cost of looking at those plans is cost on to the
developer.
But I would agree to.
Okay, sounds good.
And then do we need to look more towards development proposals? Do we want to get engineering firms to give us ideas?
Well, if you guys are here, I mean, if they just put a bid together for what they're doing similar with Gunnison, we'd be looking into
it. That's one thing on this in here. I did want to use it because those ones that already worked with the developer, so it's like.
But, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting a bid to say, hey, this is what kind of similar looking what Gunnison's doing. Let's see what it would cost to do ours. I mean, a bid doesn't mean that we have to do anything with it. I mean, not right. Give you guys paperwork and say it's not. You know, but it would be good to have an idea of where we're at financially wise, what it would take to get us maybe where we need to be.
Okay.
I mean, if we're getting close to budget time, it might be worth throwing some of that out there.
Okay. Maybe what we had to do is just do it as a motion, since Paul made the motion to use Sunrise Engineering to look at the Mountainville Farms. Would anybody second that?
No, second it.
Okay. So we've got Paul making the motion and Sam seconded to use Sunrise on the Mountainville Farms subdivision. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And then probably the second part of that is basically I think Sam's made the motion to have Ensign give us a cost estimate of what it costs to go through our code to update it. Would anybody second that?
I'll second it.
Okay, so Paul's going to second that motion to have Ensign look at our codes and give us an update cost, kind of what it costs to update ours.
I mean, if we're doing all this construction, we're doing all this stuff, I mean, we're right in the middle of all this. It might be the perfect opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to jump on it before it's too late.
Yeah, right. Before we get in a bind somewhere.
Yeah. So with that motion, yes, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next is the AT&T land and tower lease.
For some reason, I thought we just did this, didn't we?
We did. They come back and they're agreeing to what we've done. So we're just making sure that everybody's in agreement that we move forward with that lease.
And what is that lease?
So out here on the back tower, we've got Verizon on it right now. AT&T would like to put a dish on it also. And they come with a proposal to put their building on the north side of it. We went back to them and said we don't like that. They've agreed to help us move the shed on the south side and move their portion over on the south side and then use the tower.
Okay.
So
the lease is $1,000 a month?
Yes.
From the city.
To the city. So that's a good help to.
Yeah.
I'd know the library.
5 years too.
Yeah.
It increases every year, if I remember, right? Just a little tiny bit.
It was every couple of years.
Yeah, it increases, so.
Right, I think if they've agreed with what we wanted, I don't see any.
So again, it's just basically to keep the council up to date on what's going on with that. And if you're fine with it, I'd like to have somebody to make the motion and we'll move ahead with it.
I'll make the motion. We move ahead with the AT&T land and tower lease.
I'll second that motion by Russell.
Okay. Russell's made the motion and Rondi seconded it to move ahead with the AT&T land and tower lease. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, next, kind of something that hit me and I wanted to bring it up is we've been talking restrooms and we're talking the new pavilion, whatever, to the park. Wondering if it's time that we had somebody look at doing a study on doing an impact for an impact fee for our parks and recreation. All these new houses, I mean, if we're looking at 65 new houses coming in.
It would be a good extra place to put
It would be nice to be able to take and get some extra funds to help even pay, because it's gonna impact our park, it's gonna impact a lot of these things.
I would agree with that.
Part of what I know we have to do is we have to come up with a 10-year master plan on our parks, our park and different things, but.
Well, then the public, well, then the general public ain't paying, you know, the developments have to pay for all that too, if it's not.
Yeah, because a lot of the parks been paid for the citizens that's been here, but as we grow as a city, that park's gonna have to grow and change too, so it's like, let's try and get them to help us sponsor part of that.
I agree.
So what this would be is that we'd reach out to a couple different engineering firms. The one I talked to said that the study would be right around $10,000, but that can be, the cost of that can go back to the impact fees, and the impact fees can pay for that. So.
So do you need a motion on that?
Yes.
So I'll make a motion to proceed with the, get some bids on, get a study on the park location.
Okay, I have a motion by Sam and seconded by Paul to go after some engineering firms to study and look at the impact fees on the park and the recreation. Let's vote on this since it will involve money.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, public participation. That's all right.
No one.
All right. Then we'll move on to the fire department.
Got our plans back, working on some stuff on the new trucks, which I gotta meet with him again, just kind of go over some final checklists. We're a little bit, I gotta go back to district, because with everything we've changed, we're about 25 grand more than what we originally bid at, so. So as far as that, we're still moving forward, but just kind of a few little minor hiccups in there. I had a pretty good turnout go to the fire school. We did have six guys that stayed back. We had a little house fire, luckily nothing serious. Coulter was the only one that showed up out of our six that were here. I think he had some stragglers, but so luckily it wasn't nothing major, but I mean, we've been leaving people back. We had six guys, but whether they're here, whether they're, I mean, that's the hard part. I mean, it's whether they're around or not, but I think as far as I know, it's not a major damage on the house.
No.
So I mean, big thing is nobody was hurt, nobody was injured. I mean, that's always a plus in my book, so.
Yeah. Yep.
But I know, other than that, it's been quiet. Till then.
I was saying last words too.
Looking at the four, trucks in front of my house.
Yeah. Yeah, we did have, we have mutual agreements with all the surrounding cities. We did have some help with Spring City and Fairview and Myrna.
Yeah.
So, I know Spring City had about eight guys down there when I was down there at fire school. And so, there's a lot of people that send different people, but we all try to leave people back and stay covered the best we can.
You know, and maybe we look at some of the guys that used to be on the fire department that would be familiar enough that we ask them to help on that weekend too.
Yeah.
But you guys are good.
Yeah, I'm certified, stand up on your certifications, you have to have all the gear. That's expensive.
Yeah, but still even just to show up on some, with at least somebody's there to help.
That's the other problem, it's the liability thing. If you're not certified,
you're
liable. They've changed all the rules now.
Yeah, 40 years ago, you didn't need to be certified. Yeah, you just showed up. You squirted water.
Now you have to be consent, know the rules. Everything's changed. So.
Well, it's,
It's getting worse and worse.
It'd be nice if you could do that, if people would, but...
I know it.
You can't, yeah.
We'll certify you for... We'll certify you for a weekend, Cameron.
That's why I'm not on there anymore. I just bought extra fire extinguishers for my house.
Hey, don't say it like that, that sounds bad.
Other than that, we're still cooking along, we got some new guys, we got another new kid that just joined, so getting some new guys still, which is always good to have the new people, so.
Good.
That's, I mean, that's the hard part is there, with everything, the trainings, that's the next thing, is it's hard to get hands-on training, that's about the only time of year with all this COVID everything that you can actually go and do it.
Yeah.
It's, unless you wanna go pay for a scholarship, because that's the way it's gone now, is everything with UFRA, used to be more about volunteers and we used to get all the money from the state, now it's gone to a college degree education, and now unless you pay tuition and get into all that, then it's a whole other mess.
Where was that school?
Yeah, St. George.
So that's being the case, I think that's something we need to bring up with Representative Steve Hunt.
Yeah.
And try and get some of that money back.
I mean, years ago, I mean, it seemed like the fire academy was really good with volunteer stuff and everything, I mean...
Pushed it for the rural communities, that was what it was started for.
And now it's all...
And now it's...
It's a... It's, yeah, unless you got lots of money, you're kinda on the bottom of the tax.
They're starting to cater to the full-time cities or the big cities.
Yep, because they want recruitment and they're wanting people to fill the positions and they wanna give them a degree to get them in there and... So it's, we've kinda just been, kinda swept aside.
The full-time services had as hard a time filling all those positions as the part-time, you know, the volunteer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why they geared that.
So it's a...
It's where the bigger money is all the bigger cities.
Right.
It's a tough deal, I don't know. We used to, well, we still try to do a lot of our classes down here locally every so often, and we do a lot of the guys, like, you know, a lot of the chiefs are instructor certified, so we are actually the ones that go and donate all our time and do the class nights and teach them and
teach each other.
Put all the hours in to try to get everybody else up to speed and certified. It's a lot of work.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay. Public Works.
I was able to spend a good part of yesterday with City of Lee, serving that sewer master plan. I spent some time down at the sewer pond, looking at the ponds and where we wanted to try to put the headworks and the screen to screen out the inorganics. They got a couple cool new designs that actually go just in a manhole that kind of spirals it up and out and into a dumpster. A benefit with that would be we don't need wash water. So we wouldn't have to run extended water down to the sewer pond itself. So we got a couple different designs they're gonna put together and bring down and show you guys.
I guess I'm gonna ask you a question, but if they're coming down and look to do it, you probably don't know enough about it. My question first off about it is it if it's mechanical, why happens when it breaks and it plugs up the manhole?
So right now they're putting one in Lewiston. So what it is it almost looks like a set of grizzly bars over. So you can get different sized bars to let different sized stuff through. And so they're not supposed to plug. But Lewiston's just putting one in. They're supposed to do a little more research and get back with us on it and bring new stuff down and show you guys. The pond, cell 3 and 4, they're pretty concerned on the sagebrush and rattlebrush growth through the liner. While we were down there yesterday, cell 2 is actually spilling to cell 3 now, so we've had enough water come through. One of my concerns was there's no water in cell 3. So where's it going? That's something we've got to look at. We identified a few different manholes that we want to put. They want to come down and meter our outflow line, so we was able to go and identify some manholes on where we want to put the meters in the outflow line to see which part of the town, which part of the town is producing more sewers, and so we could go to the back part for the development plan. Where we see how that flows.
Second north, fifth west of the city.
Yeah. And then we look at right here on Main, right behind the Maxwell House.
where that outfall line comes in right there, crosses Main Street right there. So that was another one we identified, and then we're still looking for, I would like to try to capture one down below the industrial park.
But your industrial park won't have a whole lot of use.
No, so far looking, they should capture like the hospital, 9th South, and out towards Kelsals and that, which all comes back. So I would like to, if we're gonna put those homes out there for Glendale, I'd like to see what kind of flows we're getting in that end of town also.
That will come back, cross and go down 1,000 South by the guard.
Right.
So.
And so, and part of the industrial park comes back through there, the part that loops around from Midway and goes back to the south and then down around into the park. I think we can, from our total flow, subtract off and figure out what that flow is coming in that direction.
There's only two, maybe three buildings on, I think three.
Not much.
Green Polka Dot South, we put that in, I'm gonna put that in.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
No.
But a lot of the newer buildings that are going in down off the runway are also dumping into that.
Getting a bit tied into that, but most of them are just single bathrooms. Your single bathroom ain't gonna have the use as a home.
Not a lot of flow coming out of there.
Yeah, I mean, a single flush is, most of these toilets you buy now are not a whole lot of.
Not a lot of bathroom. So I'm really excited about working with JV and getting this project rolling. There was a lot of good info they had yesterday on it so far and working with them. So far, no snow. We'd like to push some more snow, so.
You're going.
I hope.
Next week.
It's been pretty dry.
I've now worked on a few buildings and.
Push more them.
Staying busy, we're looking at getting ready to start changing some more meters again. We're still floating around that 120 mark of meters that have dropped off and need to get changed out. Before we know it, April 15th will be here and turn around meters.
Quick question I just noticed, what was it, did they patch Fourth East with? What did they, was that, I kinda just drove over and glanced at it, was it hot mix?
Cold patch.
They just used cold patch up there for now?
Yeah.
So.
For that crossing.
Sewer crossing, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing to add to your list, that I got bounced about a couple times and I keep seeing is sidewalk that Drew took out.
That who took out?
Drew. Over there by me, south of me, on the kids, where the kids walk back before school.
Drew.
Yeah, they never, that's been, I don't know how many years ago.
Two.
Three years ago now.
Okay.
We told them they were okay to put on the crossing for the road because we redid Fourth right there, but then they just never did. They never did the sidewalk.
Okay.
So.
And then we got that road crossing on 7, and as soon as Devin can get some asphalt, he'll get that on time.
Can they do a cold mix, temporary?
Got, I mean, I'll ask him, I'll call him tomorrow. This way, that road edge is blowing out.
It does, we try to keep it in, it's.
There's a lot of traffic on that road.
It's a busy road.
I'll talk to Devin tomorrow.
So talking about April, and we got our fittings and stuff ordered, so.
Yeah, Justin will be here on Thursday or Monday to meet with me, and we're gonna go through our irrigation room and get all of our stuff from there. So I actually talked to him today.
Did you ever get a letter to that guy in Aspen Village?
She said not looking.
No, we didn't, sorry.
We need to get that done, because they're the only ones on that, and their water's gonna be getting pretty stale.
I just tried it and turned on the street, which I've come.
Well, then we've got a couple different fire hydrants down. I finally got the one by the armory.
I've seen that.
So I got, me and Gary got that one fixed the other day, been about a month ago or so. And then we have some Klaus hydrants that kinda taking shit up by Randy. Up in that subdivision up in there. So we've got parts ordered for them, we're waiting on the parts to come in, and there's two up there, and then one over by Jeff Peterson's house that we're waiting on parts for.
When the weather breaks, can you replace the manhole collar down on Fifth West that's breaking out?
Yeah, I didn't notice that one too.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. Actually, there's actually two of them there that could be raised.
Right by Gigi's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're.
Yeah, they're on my list too.
Okay.
So, that's all I got.
Thanks, Colby.
Cameron, are you here to report on the power department?
Sure.
Where's Shane at?
I don't know.
He's been sick.
We okayed your power poles.
That's good. I'm not sure, that's about all I have.
Okay.
No, we've just been fixing a few of the poles. We've had quite a few of them break in the last while, so replaced a bunch of those and still got a couple more that we got to replace. Working on electrical in some of the buildings and catching up with a lot of stuff that we've been putting off all summer long because we just didn't have time. We're still doing a few connections and then just working on maintenance now.
That exciter or whatever it was that went bad at the one powerhouse? That little round you showed me, did you ever get it fixed? Or?
No, we're going to, when Shane gets back, we're going to go up to, me and him are going to go up to Springville. They had the similar issue on one of their hydros up there. And so we're going to, they were able to convert theirs a different way. And so we're going to see what they did and see if that might be the route to go. I mean, obviously, something built in 1933, you can't get parts for it.
Yeah. You ought to see this thing.
It's the re-established.
It's like ancient.
You know, yeah. It melted down on it, so.
You won't get one that'll last that long again.
No, I mean, we searched everywhere trying to find something, somewhere that we could get something to replace that one or to fix it, and there's just nowhere out there now. So we're going to look at maybe upgrading it to a newer system so that we don't have to have that.
This, I seen on the money here, you just bought some conduit. What was the price increase in conduit, say, a year ago?
So that conduit was, how much was that?
I know
it's a lot.
It's really astronomical compared to what it was just a year ago.
I want to say it's like two. What did I look at that? 250 or 290?
Yeah. So we bought a bunk of it because we used half of it on a project already, a line extension, and by buying the bunk, we were able to save almost a dollar a foot on it. Everywhere we checked, if we just bought just what we needed, it would have cost us almost $4 a foot. Where a year ago, we were buying it for 47 cents a foot.
Yeah.
Well, a little over a year ago.
Jeez.
And that's for 2-inch conduit. 3-inch conduit went from all the projects we did with that, went out in the industrial park and out to the park and cemetery. That went from $1.14 a foot to it's almost $8 a foot now.
Wow.
It costs more than our wire does now. We used to say throw a conduit in because it's cheap insurance. Well, it's not cheap anymore. So now we're like, do we put that in there? You know? So yeah, it's just, and everything, the lead times, everything's gone out. It's not weeks, it's months or years now for parts. I mean, they told us now we can't even get if on three-phase transformers, they won't even give us a price. They'd say it is what it is when you get it. They won't quote it. They'll tell you. And then the lead time is 2 years now.
Wow.
So I'm like, it's 104 weeks is what they told us.
Oh, man.
The lead time. They even dig that far out. So but all of our Everything we have now, they're giving us new price increases. So we bought the whole bundle for Mountain Line, gave us a really good price. We bought the whole bundle. We saved over a dollar a foot, so we got it for $2.62 a foot. In fact, some of our other suppliers found out we bought that much. They said, hey, if you buy all they have, we'll make a deal with you. I'm like, we can't do that. So.
Okay. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I was curious to see what eight-inch C900 is now, $25 a foot.
Ooh.
I mean, it was just $10 a foot 3 months ago.
Yeah, that was incredible.
$25 a foot.
Everything is sold.
It's crazy.
It's just absolutely.
If you can even get it, that's the next thing,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That's what scares me on our treatment plant up there. Running that pipe up there, it's like tripled. All right, Paul, council report.
I got with Darren Coughlin and got an estimate. I've been working with Rondi for Aspen Village and for the roads. And we got a per square foot price from him, and I give that to Rondi. I think it, just to grind it up was 32 cents a square foot, and to spread the powder and mix it again and water it and grade it and all that, it was $1.42 a foot. So, and then
$1.75 or $1.72.
That's not included the double chip seal. What was that per foot? I can't remember.
Double chips, 171 square foot.
Yeah, it was the chip seal's more than the road itself.
So,
Rondi was going to kind of get some square footages figured up to see what we can do this year, you know, if we can, how much we can do. And
yeah,
Aspen Village, the estimate for Aspen Village alone was around $100,000.
But we have a product.
Yeah, we have the product for that too.
That'll help. At least that'll help quite a bit.
So we talked like to the county or anything to help us like go up 200 north.
I haven't talked to the county about Second North. I needed to.
And like 700 south. I mean, they're two big access roads.
Yeah, look into what the first step is in that process and see what they can do.
Now, a couple of years ago, even Wasatch, and I know their funds are a lot shorter now, but they actually said they'd chip in a little bit, you know, in front of their properties and stuff.
Yeah, so I remember on Third South, they mentioned they'd go half on it with us.
Third South and then Third West up to First West, or First South.
Because, I mean, that's some of our worst road. I mean, it's bad, you know, by those tennis courts and everything, so. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know if they still would be willing to.
Don't hurt to ask. I mean,
yeah.
We can do that. You know, I mean, we can help, whatever. I'm just.
See what they're willing to do there.
Yeah, everything we can do that I think we ought to do.
And unfortunately, the cost of road buildings gone up just like everything else.
Can't even imagine what it's going to cost there.
Yeah.
Diesel fuel to run everything.
Some contractors and developers.
If they can even get the transformers to do it now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The only other thing I have up Aspen Village, as soon as we get that last house hooked up to the water, we can kill that main, then I can go in and start digging that detention pond out and shaping it and putting topsoil on it, getting it ready for spring. The telephone company went in there and moved their. They had a cable going right through the middle of it, and they moved everything. So
we still got that that goes through there too, don't we?
No, it's all taken care of. Okay. Everything's dead except the water. That's all I have. We got our assignments now, so now we know where we can put our time into.
When? What do you have?
No, I still haven't got any. I mean, we got the rec center door ordered for that back, the rec center there. Still no parts on our shower, the pool. So, and then we've kind of been experimenting a little bit with some potholes. You know, that bag got opened up, that dry cement, stuff like that. So we're going to try to put a little bit of that in the potholes and kind of hold them in there a little bit, some of the big ones, because there's a few around town. You know, take your wheel off, so. They've pretty much just been chipping a lot of ice and stuff around buildings and stuff, so. That's it.
Okay, Russ?
I don't have a whole lot. I talked to Brittany, and she got the heater and everything's all, everything's running good up there, but she doesn't have lifeguards. So Thursday, the 1st, 13th. And then I feel bad Mike come tonight, because I thought we was, had it on the agenda to discuss the runway out there on that property.
Over the bar today.
Okay. And so, but that's what he informed me this morning, that he got a friend up there that's got a machine shop and wants to kind of move within 190 days. So he wants to build the building, and that would be another good business. He's going to move his whole business down here. And then, of course, he said he'd sell this building, you know, that's something to discuss. That was one of it. Yeah, we had a pretty good talk this morning. Went up and seen him and everything when he got the blueprints for me. Mike's more than willing to help in any way he can. Let's see him to move forward with what he can out there, so. There's some other proposals I'll talk to you about that he talked to me about. Okay. That's all I got.
Bull, did you bounce him about them people living in the trailers out there on the property by all that wood?
I didn't. What he told me, if he can get things to work the way that we hope we can work with him, he's going to move everything down off that street. Everything will be moved. Trucks and everything will be moved off that street.
I get worried for him. I just get nervous for him that people kind of get lax, even with their 55-gallon drum that they're burning out there in the middle of all that wood. It would be a big loss to them if they, you know, if somebody didn't put that out of the way. The winds are always blowing out that way. You know, I mean, I just see him do that, and I just think to myself, you know, that just makes me nervous. It's kind of an accident waiting to happen.
And then that guy a little further out south, he's got trucks parked on both sides of the road.
I mean, it makes it hard to plow.
What are them trucks out there? I noticed now we got agriculture trucks. Yeah, parking out there too.
I don't know who the guy is.
I don't know.
But he said if things worked out, he'd move everything down.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
And putting that up and sell that upper building. And he's got a person that's interested in that right now to bring in another business there too. So there's two businesses that he's
working
with that's for sure. One is for sure. He's coming. One way he says he's got to move tax purposes. He's got to move and reinvest and get right away.
Are there people living out there in trailers?
Huh?
I don't think so.
There's that motor home that somebody told me they live in down there, kind of on the west end of where all their wood's at.
Is
that the truck drivers?
I don't know, but somebody told me they're living in them.
I'll check it out tomorrow.
They might have a security guard out there living there.
They have a security guard that's there. It's
but I don't know if that's what they're meaning. I don't know. I see the motor home they're talking about, there, like a trailer and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen it out there.
Well, it's been out there for a long time, so I don't know.
You still got the one down by the stalls they're living in down there.
By the Irvine?
Yeah.
Oh, after the contour?
Yeah. There's one living down there, too. That's all I got. I'll chat with Mike tomorrow on what's going on there. He's super interested in working with us and doing what he can do to help. He's a big reason for that tax base we got.
Yes, he is. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Ronnie, what do you have?
So, like Paul mentioned, he's got this quote back from Coughlin and Pamaspen Village. this date on is December 13th, so it's a little over a month old. We're looking at it, well, for Coughlin to come in and install the LiftTech product, you're looking at about $42,000 a block. Figuring 500 feet a block and 24-foot wide road. And then the LiftTech product is about $15,000 a block. So we're looking at around, and I'm figuring a little high here. I'm patting it up a little because I used to be a contractor, and that's the way I think. So we're looking at about $57,000 a block for this LiftTech product right now.
That's through the whole street?
That's for the product, for the install, finished double chip seal.
That's gone up quite a bit from last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's
a lot.
And I don't know how accurate those numbers were that Bedrock was giving us, but I think they were a little low. I feel like they were a little low. So it, and that has increased, not as dramatic as some of these other things we've talked about.
It's still significantly cheaper than asphalt, I guarantee it.
And so, you know, just an idea, that's what we're looking at. So, you know, in our road budget, this, well, between what we have left from that last year and this year, we might be looking at 10 blocks for a project this year. And then we'll use the grant that we won't find out about until the middle of March on Aspen Village. I don't know what the amount of that grant was, but it looks like it's only going to cost us about, well, a little over $100,000 to do.
I think I put in just a slight amount of contingency based on how to do an engineer. So I did put a little bit of contingency, like over than that.
Yeah, I think the price I give you, he gave me a quote, and then he called me back about a week later and gave me a little higher quote.
Yeah, so my contingency will be used up.
Yeah.
So I need to talk to Dave and see what exactly our options are with the road budget money. And then we need to make a decision on
what we're going to spend on that.
I think we need to get serious and go along some of our shoulders on our roads and dig them down and get the water off the roads.
I wouldn't take that much. Take the blade down most of these and peel it back toward the road.
Shoulder and put it back up on the shoulder.
Some of it we need to peel it back, and others we need to peel it away. So some of them, it might be that we go in and dig it out a little bit and haul it away.
Down by Butch's on the second north down that way, that road is probably a good foot lower than the sides.
It is. First West down.
Runs right down there.
Sinclair.
First West.
It's a mess.
I just know First North there that I travel every day. It's like the road's down here and the bank's up here. So we've got to come in and dig that down and get the water off the road, because that's what's destroying our roads and keeps eating our potholes. And try and get some of that done around different places. Experiment a little bit or something that way.
But anyway, that's I got an idea of what it's going to cost. So now we can move forward to the next step and make a decision on where we want to go with that road budget money.
Tell Bedrock we want the price they gave us last fall, huh? Back down.
Yeah, those guys.
$6 guarantee.
Yeah.
We're going to have to bypass Bedrock.
I
know it. But I said I want their price. Quoted us last year what we was going to do, and then they backed out on us.
Yeah, they got in legal trouble with LiftTech and wasn't able to move forward with the project. And now it's more expensive, but those are things that we couldn't see ahead of time. And the city we didn't have any money involved with Bedrock
or anything.
So it was just unfortunate it delayed our road project, and now it's going to be a little more expensive just because that's the nature of how everything is.
Yep.
But so the numbers I come up with between the bid from Coughlin and LiftTech is about $57,000 a block.
How many blocks we got in this community?
A lot.
About 123.
So little less than 10% will be able to, without borrowing money. This is money that's just available in our
budget. Maybe not quite that many, but it's, I think we have like 144 blocks total, something like that.
Some of the roads aren't.
You gotta go four times that though, don't you?
No.
There's, I'm trying to remember, there's 40, 50 some miles worth of road.
Yeah.
And some of them are good roads, you know, Fourth East has held up real good. This road we've used the Lift Tech product and the roads down at San Juan, they've been 5-6 years and they're showing no signs of deterioration, so.
The other thing you gotta look at doing is it's not been done since I was there, it's probably been 10 years ago, is update your BMC roadmap. When you do that, because there's a lot of roads that were just gravel and dirt, like going up Fifth North, that if you now, you get paid almost 3-to-1 for what it is when it's either chip seal or asphalt versus just regular gravel road. So we probably have to look at updating that BMC roadmap.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a lot cheaper than we were thinking.
That'd bump our funds for what?
What'd you come up with?
Because I know.
What'd you come up with?
$2 million.
Well, that's not bad.
That's what I said, that's a lot cheaper than what we were thinking.
We figured asphalt like $24 million.
$24 million, that's what I said on the asphalt.
You see that, and we hadn't done an arena road going down there, it was all dirt still. So that's another, I don't know, quite a few blocks going down there.
What about like an industrial park, or what would that one too?
That would have to all be added into it. Because see, the runway you could count now as road because it's now road, not a runway. So you could probably, reality with what we have, I'll bet you'd be close to maybe $30,000 to $40,000 to update everything, if not a little bit more. So.
It'd be worth doing it.
That would be. I'll talk to you a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, what else you got?
Onward and upward.
That's all I have, and I will follow up with the county on Second North and Seventh South. I may follow up with Wasatch on 3rd South and 3rd West and just see if there's any, you know, if we can collaborate together and split the burden of the cost of those roads. See what I can find out.
Okay. Sam?
The only thing I got was kind of following up from last meeting on. I know Jack came in on the CDRA about that door. That door can't be replaced with a roll-up door. It's against fire code. So I don't know if there's a different option we can go with.
A
different door.
You might have to cut the side of that, cut a different door in.
Either that or they'll have to take out a whole half of them section of the bleachers and remove them all. And then I don't know if that would even still suffice what you're doing. And really, you're setting up for a lawsuit. So if we remove that door and put a roll-up door in it to eliminate it from a fire code door. So I think it'd be more headache down the road than what it would be worth for not looking at a different option. Just as a follow-up, so.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know if there's a different door we can maybe use or, I don't know.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything else, boss.
Okay. Got an email this afternoon from Devin on the well. They're moving along with the plant, well house design. The input that we gave them a while ago, it's basically the same thing. That we do need to get the two property owners to do the well source protection. I think I'm going to have Sunrise reach out. I think it'd be better to let Sunrise reach out to the city. Probably those landowners, because they might say, what's the city trying to do? If we go approach them like the engineer firm approaches them, it might be a little better. Kind of a feeling I have, so we'll have them reach out to them. And then they need to do the point of diversion so we can drill the main water. First, we'll drill the main well. And then West Tech would like to have a meeting next week to talk about, again, the cost that's gone up with since the pilot program last summer.
That's a treatment plant?
That's a treatment plant. So it's kind of an update on that project.
I had some questions I would like to get with JB on the irrigation. So on that retention pond up there, who's managing that water? Is that a city pond or is that a, is that going to be?
Irrigation company or?
Yet the city's paying for it. That's where I'm getting my, that's where I'm trying to, I guess my.
Yeah. That's my concern I have too.
My question is, the city's paying for all this, but yet it becomes an irrigation company that we don't manage it. That's my big worry. I'm not trying to fight with that. I just, that was a question I just started thinking about. I'm wondering.
Yeah, because really the only thing the city's done own is the flood control on top of all that. So that we're not going to be responsible.
I mean, we have our water rights and we own.
But that's all paid through the irrigation company.
So, you know. Just outside the box thinking, I was just kind of curious. Because I don't want to get in the same situations we're already in. He said, she said, using water.
Right. Yeah. That's still tied up with the.
In
that economist, so. What joke? We didn't meet with them yesterday.
Is there anybody we can call on that?
I've reached out to Senator Lee's office a little bit to see if we can do something that way.
Push it forward somehow. I mean, because reality, all this money is now losing value with everything that's.
We've lost half the value basically over the last 2 years.
Just because of him delaying it. Reality.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Is he a retired federal judge or something? This guy?
He's a retired NRCS employee. And there's two in the United States, and NRCS's protocol is you have to use one of those two.
And they have, it's their option of when they want to look at it.
And when they want to do it. And then they done it, and they sent it to us, and it was totally wrong. So JUB now is going through it and trying to redo it to get it fixed.
But if prices are going up, we'll have to get them some more money from somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
I got a question, Sam. Sam might know this, or you might know it, but up where the Sulphur Spring is, mm-hmm. the spring over on the south side, that's city water, isn't it? Isn't that our water?
That's what I understand, yes.
I've understood that too. So.
We went up and tried, I've gone up there and tried to find a source. It kind of comes out of the side of the hill, but it's.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a ways up there. It's thicker than thick.
It's thick, and it just seeps all the way along that.
Yeah, we found a pretty good spot where it was coming out, the majority of it. And so, I mean, you could do some development there. We talked about it, you know, maybe split the cost of that. When you guys redo your line, and maybe tie that in and that additional water coming down as culinary too or somehow and re-split it out. But
But that's something we probably need to keep in the back of our minds later on if we need more water. We can't let that not be a source.
No.
I figured there's a close to 350 gallon a minute.
There's quite a bit that comes down there. The only thing I don't know, and I don't know if you would know, Cameron, is who actually owns the property or is it forest? I don't know if the city owns that over there.
No,
if it's on forest, we own the right. From my understanding, we own the rights. But I know, for instance, Spring City has headaches all the time with Forest Service on there. Yeah. Even though they have all the springs, their main springs, I've heard a lot of issues, and they have a lot of issues with the Forest Service.
Forest ground there.
It's just below it. It's right below it. Yeah. But where the spring is it's actually pretty close to Forest.
It's
quite a ways up in there. Where I came out, when I found it and hiked up into where it was at, I came out above the Forest Service.
Yeah, the maps show two springs right there, though, on that side.
And it would be worth looking in property wise, because that might, we may have some headaches there down the road. But, you know,
potential for one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, that may be. A good starting point too is finding out who actually owns that property.
Even if you couldn't develop it to clean it up, if you're going to do a purification unit, you know, you could separate it and bring it down. And
I pulled some samples off and they're clean other than the bacteria and stuff like that, but that could be surface influence because it's exposed to the atmosphere. So if you dig it up and down, it may be really good. But as far as any kind of, like, you know, sulfurs, anything like that, it didn't have any high contents, any of that in it. So
None of the bad minerals?
No.
That's a good spring.
Yeah, I think it is a good source. I just, like I said, the only other thing hindsight would be the property issue would be. So.
Would it be above the treatment plant?
Yeah, it's clear up there.
Almost the forest line.
Yeah, right there about the forest line, so.
What I, but after I was up there fixing some of that line that feeds the power plants, you know, if we was to develop that, it'd be an ideal thing to just dig one trench and bring the pipe down.
That's what we talked about, and kind of sharing it and making it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be significantly cheaper doing it that versus trying to do one and then do the other. But I mean, where there are that trench and everything's there, the right of way's already there, wouldn't be nothing much to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all right there. Take a little bit of work to dig up that spring and add a little bit of pipe, but it really is a feasible option. Like I said, the only thing hindsight that I ever thought of back then is if it's Forest Service or who actually owns the ground.
Yeah. And another thing, you'd be taking away from the irrigation too, so.
Well, yeah, kind of.
But what's?
Reality, if you really think about it, you did the calculations, all that water that comes out of that probably going to the ground anyway. By the time it gets the creek and all that seeps down through the ground, you got so much loss through the ground. But
that's true.
We capture all that.
In your penstock over there? Is that little ditch bleach right over into your penstock? Mm-hmm. So you're already.
A little intake right there.
Yeah.
Spring. And he really fixed it up for us now.
So it's captured. That's good.
There's a beaver up there that tried to fix it. Damon made short work of him.
Let's see. The other well, still moving forward with that. As we said, trying for the CIB grant to be able to help pay for part of that. JUB's helping get us a cost of what it would cost to pipe it back to the park to be able to use it there, so we can apply with that grant to see if we can do it. The nice thing is we've been on the CIB for 4 years now for 2022 for $6 million because we thought we'd use it on the irrigation project. So we should be number one in the county to get that money to hopefully use. So, and then we'll turn around and reapply for our irrigation money.
Bull money.
Yeah. We met with Six County today on economic development. There is money available. We did talk to her a little bit about the industrial park, about doing a strip mall along there. She says there's money available that we could do that. So, lots of different options.
Would that be the city or would that be an individual buyer?
What we approached her with is us as a city getting the grant to build the buildings and turn around and sell them. Then we take that money and build two more buildings and then do the same thing and keep going down there. Just create little buildings of industrial park, strip mall type deals. So that's kind of the way we talked to her about it today.
She's very excited, wanting to help us.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like she said, this is ideal, what we need in this area. Small little businesses for everybody that wants to grow. So yeah, what else am I missing? All the employee luncheon on Thursday.
I'll be working.
You'll be working? Can you make it, Rondi?
I'm going to be
sleeping.
I'll be in bed. I worked graveyard shift that night, so.
Okay. What else? Tell my notes, I guess that's it.
Just they all saw their assignments?
Yeah, that was the other thing. The assignments, sheet, any questions on those?
What is the only question I had, what's your safety committee? What is?
It's something we're supposed to be doing that builds the trust that helps us.
That was the one that we were doing before, that where they'd give us money back if we had met certain things.
Yeah.
The only, so that's why I was questioning if that was that, or if that was, the only thing I was going to ask you is like, did you have anything, because I know before I thought I had, like...
You had the safety committee.
Oh, was it safety committee? I couldn't remember if it was that or like a public safety thing.
No. I thought it was more public safety, but it was a safety committee, so I moved that over to the fall.
Because I do know, the only thing safety I think of is we do need to do, we really need to look into do updating our emergency master plan. So, that's not been done for a few years.
Long time.
One more check.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, adjourn.
Jeannie, I'm going to leave this back, this check back to you, and I'll have Adele come pick it up tomorrow. Does that work? And then you can take it to class with you.
You,